It seems like just yesterday when I captured my son's first steps or when we recorded his soccer games on VHS tapes. Those moments are gone. But the old home movies and pictures don't need to be. That's why my son created Legacy Box.
That's right, Mom. Over a million families have used Legacy Box to digitally preserve their old home movies and photos.
Simply fill Legacy Box with your old camcorder tapes, film, and photos. They will professionally digitize and send them back on DVDs, thumb drive, or the cloud.
With Mother's Day around the corner, it's the perfect time to get your Legacy Box and save your family's history. After all, few things are as important as protecting your precious memories. Give your mom a Mother's Day present she'll never forget. Take advantage of our Mother's Day sale, which starts now. It's our best deal of the year. Save up to 60% off. Visit legacybox.com/keepsake, and for a limited time, get an incredible 60% off your order. That's legacybox.com/keepsake for 60% off. legacybox.com/keepsake.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Meta Sidekicks. My name is Liv and this is the podcast where we talk about all things metaphysical, spiritual, paranormal, and in between. Today I have another lovely edition of listeners' stories for you. If you're new to the podcast, hello, welcome, hi. I've already said my name is Liv. I am a professional psychic medium, and in addition to sharing the listener stories that you lovely listeners send in, I'm going to give you my spiritual, psychic, metaphysical, mediumship insight to the best of my abilities. So I hope you're excited and ready for this lovely little listener stories, so let's begin. All right, so our first story is titled The Nice Shadow, by Costanza Z. Costanza says, "Hi, so I just want to say that I'm not a native English speaker, so I'm trying my best here. Okay, so I think this was one of my first paranormal stories and happened right in my own house." Amazing. "I was having online school at the time, so I would wake up pretty early and get ready. And by that I mean turning on my computer. I hate the dark because of something that I used to see after me when I was a kid. But that's another story. So when I sleep, I usually keep my door ajar or closed because I have a cat and she doesn't like closed doors. So I remember hearing my grandpa opening his bedroom door to go to the bathroom. So I looked to the door and I heard him passing by to go to the bathroom. Sounds okay, right? Just my grandfather going to use the bathroom. But no! Then when he turned on the light, I saw a shadow coming to my door and looking through the space that was left for the cat. And I thought, okay, it's probably morning and my grandma is trying to see if I'm awake. She used to do that when I woke up, so I turned on the nightstand light and started moving on the bed so that she would see that I was awake. But it was kind of odd when the shadow was still there looking, so my big brain decided to do what? Yes, look at my clock, and it was 4:30 in the morning. Not school time yet. No. I refused to wake up this early in the morning. So I looked at the door and it was still there, but then I heard my grandpa flushing the toilet. So that's the thing. If my grandpa's in the bathroom, who is at my door? So what my brave ass did next? Yes, a staring contest with the weird thing looking at me through my door. All right, so after the toilet thing, I saw my grandpa passing through the shadow and going to bed again. And the shadow was still there. And again, I'm a big brave woman, so I was too tired for that thing, and it was 4 in the morning, and I'm not in the mood for that. So I turned off the light and went back to sleep. I still don't know if that was something or not, but I didn't feel anything bad, so I just ignored that. And yeah, I'm still scared of the dark because of the thing I saw when I was little, and I don't know if this thing was real or just my imagination. But yeah, thank you for listening, and I love your content. Costanza Z. All right, Costanza, I read your story about 3 times. And today, like usually I try to prepare my listener stories like beforehand for the most part. Way back when, I used to just like do them on the fly. This one I'm kind of doing on the fly. I'm like picking, like reading stories and then picking one. And then if it's good, then I will go through it. And if not, then we'll just go to the next one type of thing. So I just read your story 3 times. And as much as I want it to be something paranormal, I really don't think it is. I would love to hear the story that you have from when you're a kid about something following you in the dark. That might be something. Again, if you want to send it in, definitely do that, because that would be fabulous. But so as a medium, when people ask me questions about paranormal experiences, I can't necessarily tell you anything. No information ever comes from me. It has to come from somewhere else. So on my right-hand side, because for me as a medium, that's my more like spiritual side, where souls and spirits from heaven and higher realms, if you will, whatever you want to call it, exist and give information to me. So if you were to book a private mediumship reading with me, you will probably notice over Zoom that I'm looking to my right-hand side a lot or tilting my head that way. And that's because if I'm speaking to your past loved ones or anyone who may be from spirit regarding a situation, so someone that's in heaven, whether they be a person or a pet, then that is the area of space, I guess, that I'm listening to. And I got nothing for your story on my right hand side. So I'm like, all right, this is more of a psychic thing anyways, not necessarily mediumship all the time. So to interpret your story, I opened up my mediumship hat, if you will, onto the other side. So my left hand side, I used to perceive psychic information. So that's stuff that is happening or has happened or might happen here in the physical world now. And, you know, information from that can come from the right-hand side if there's a soul or spirit that's giving me information about it from heaven. However, more so on my left-hand side, I'm asking souls or spirits that choose to reside in the physical realm or be a part of the physical realm, such as spirit guides, etc., or information or energy that resides here physically. And the only thing that my spirit guides tell me, because my spirit guides help me with the physical world, on my left-hand side, told me that it's a shadow. So I don't know how the house necessarily is situated, but if I was able to talk to you, I'd ask you the questions of like, when the door was open, was the gap on your door to the left or the right? I perceive it on the right-hand side, and I feel like your grandpa walked past on the left-hand side to go to the bathroom, and when he turned on the light, it cast a shadow from the doors to your door. Since the way your door opened, the shadows can sort of cast the light in through the little crack that you had for your cat, which I totally understand. I cannot have closed doors in my house either, because otherwise my cats they just stick their little tiny beans underneath it and shake the door like, oh my gosh, no closed doors. So I get it. But I feel like what was happening was the shadow was being cast from the like light in the hall or the light from the bathroom, and then you turned on your nightlight too to try and let your grandma know, because you thought the shadow was your grandma, that you were awake. So therefore, when one light turned off, the other one was still on, so that shadow was still moving across the room. So as much as I can understand from my spirit guides, they make me feel like it was a physical thing, not a metaphysical thing. But I still like your story, and that would also explain why at the end you say, I still don't know if that was something or not, but I didn't feel anything bad, so I just ignored that. And yeah, so I think that's why you didn't feel anything bad, because it wasn't necessarily anything bad. It was just shadows and it being dark and 4:30 in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning and your grandpa having to go potty. So I appreciate the way you write. You did a fabulous job for being someone that I assume is like Portuguese, maybe, because there's a little symbol under the C in your name. But thank you so much, Costanza, for sending in your story, and we'll move on to the next one. All right, our next story was sent in by Madison R, and the title of her story is My Spirit Guide Connection and Discovery Story. Madison says, Spirit Guide story here. I've been loving all your Spirit Guide content and wanted to share my story on how I think I may have discovered mine. I feel a very deep connection with my spirit guides and have a lot of intuitive hits regarding them. However, I am not a psychic or medium, so I honestly have no idea if any of this is accurate. Just to pause for a minute. Madison, anyone else who is listening, I believe everyone has psychic abilities. It is unique and individualistic to you. Whether or not you want to call yourself a psychic or medium is up to you and what you feel you are capable of or not. However, you can also have psychic abilities and still just not say anything about anything or give you or like you don't have to give yourself a title. So just putting it out there, I don't want you to discount your experience, Madison, and anyone else that is listening about your spirit guides, etc. If you're just like, well, I just don't have these things, because you do, and you don't have to label yourself. Anyways, okay, so moving on. Madison says, I'm not sure why, but I've always felt like I have three spirit guides. I have a really good idea on who two of them are, but the third is a complete mystery to me. The first one, I believe, is my great-grandmother, Pearl. She died many years before I was born, but I've always looked up to her. My mom was incredibly close to her and tells me all the time how scarily similar we are. And it is really scary. When my mom was pregnant with me, she woke up one night and saw Pearl holding me and whispering something in my ear. My mom knew from then on that she was assigned to watch over me. Before last night, I could never sense Pearl. However, if I intentionally think about her, I can get such a clear picture. I picture her being in a white room and she's always standing a few feet behind me, but she's never close to me. I can never picture her talking, but her presence within itself is enough to have an influence. She has such a calming and motherly presence, and I always picture her as an earth sign, even before I found out she was actually a Virgo, because of how grounded and stable she feels. I get the sense that she doesn't have any interest in having any form of control, but letting me take the reign of my life, allowing me to make my own decisions, including mistakes, and offering small suggestions and comfort when needed. Madison, the fact that you said this is extremely spiritually sound and like spiritually intelligent. That's what I wanted to say. So a lot of people, I believe, get the impression that spirit guides are here to tell you what to do and how to live your life. And I just need you, well, you don't need to understand because you just said it yourself. I need everyone that's listening to this story to understand that what you said intuitively, right in your story, is very, very accurate as far as I currently believe. Your spirit guides, literally no one, honestly, whether they be a psychic, a medium, a spirit guide, some Joe Schmo off the street, no one is here to tell you what to do and how to live your life. Everything is just here to guide you. You have free control and free will over your own decisions and your own actions. No one, nothing, whether it be spiritual or physical, can tell you what to do and how to live your life. Does that make sense? So your spirit guides, just like your grandma Pearl, great-grandma Pearl, I should say, are here, you're right, to guide you, not to tell you what to do or give you conclusive answers, but to be like, hey, here's perspective, here's a viewpoint, here's my two cents on what I think you're doing, et cetera, et cetera. So you saying that, saying I get the sense that she doesn't have any interest in having any form of control, but letting me take the reign of my life, allowing me to make my own decisions, including mistakes, and offering small suggestions and comfort when needed, is very, very, very correct and extremely spiritually intelligent from someone who, in the beginning of your first sentences, says, however, I'm not a psychic or a medium, so I honestly have no idea if any of this is accurate. I'm just here to tell you that with my 5 years of experience, which is not that great, I believe that this is very accurate. So, continuing on with Madison's story. Madison says, last night I told my mom how I pictured her, only to find out the way I described my great-grandma Pearl and her energy was entirely accurate. I also sensed her for the first time last night in a moment where I was scared, and I heard her whisper to me that her and the rest of my spirit guides have me protected. I feel so much closer to her now than I ever have before. The other spirit guide that I think I know about is a spirit that I don't even think was ever human. With this one, I feel her so strongly. However, I have zero evidence to back up my intuition, so it's possible that I just made her up entirely, but here's what I think. About a year ago, I used a pendulum to try and figure out her name, and I got the name Kaleil. I'm sorry if I'm saying that wrong, Madison. Since then, especially the last few months, I've felt a deeper connection to her, and I now have an extremely clear picture of who she might be. She very much gives me Empress energy. If the Empress had her sass level turned way up and had a bit of a mischievous attitude. She definitely has a sense of humor and loves a good laugh, even a little bit at my own expense sometimes. But it's never anything that actually is harmful to me. There have been a few occasions that I've said to her, "So you think you're real funny, huh?" And I can almost hear her buckle over laughing. But then I get a good laugh as well because the shit she comes up with is ridiculous. I picture her being very tall, roughly 7 feet, and very slender with super long wavy blonde hair in a middle part. She has a long purple dress with a super low cut V-neck, and she has a gold headband, necklace, and belt. She also gives off Winx vibes. I sense her all the time, and I can usually feel her just behind my left shoulder. I also associate a very specific color of purple with her. Anytime I do tarot readings, she's always the one I think I'm talking to. And if it's been a while since I've done a reading, I can feel her getting extremely giddy and excited to have a little girl time and gossip sesh. She loves the camera, and I see her as super energetic and quick-moving orbs in videos. Whenever Kaleo does anything mischievous, I picture Pearl sitting on a chair with a magazine or newspaper giving a little eye roll and saying, "Go ahead, but I want no part in this." But then so secretly laughing and finding it amusing. I told my mom about this, and she said that Pearl's favorite person in the world was my grandmother's dad, who was a fiery, rough and gruff redheaded Irish dude who'd played pranks on people all the time, and Pearl would give him the exact same reaction I pictured her giving Kaleo. I've been hesitant to do a tarot reading on myself or my spirit guides to check my accuracy just because I don't have a strong feeling about who they are. I don't want my ego to influence the reading and tell me I'm accurate, if I'm actually not. The only thing keeping me from thinking I'm entirely crazy is that a group of psychics stopped my mom once and very adamantly told her that I was special. That was when I was about 3 or 4. I'm 21 now and I still don't know what they were referring to, but maybe they were referring to my ability to connect with my spirit guides. I don't know. Thanks so much for taking the time to read my story. I'm a super noob subscriber, but have been loving all your content. Much love, Madison. Madison, there is completely nothing wrong with your story. I love it. It's beautiful. It's magical. And you're very lucky to have the connection that you have with your spirit guides, and I don't believe that there is anything wrong with it, honestly. I think you are extremely spiritually intelligent when it comes to your perception of your spirit guides and your relationship with them, and I thoroughly enjoyed reading your story. I feel like this is where people would want me to tell you about your third spirit guide. However, I don't think it's necessary for me to, because if you haven't already figured it out, I'm sure you will at some point in time. So I don't think it's necessarily my job or my place to say anything further on it, besides to tell you that I thoroughly enjoyed your story and I love the connection that you have with your spirit guides. A lot of people ask me how to connect with their spirit guides. And every person on the internet or in different books, whatever sects of spirituality, if you will probably have different ways to do so. My most recent explanation, I should say, is a very similar to what you're doing. It's just sit down, ask spirit, all right, who are my spirit guides? And figure out what those people or spiritual beings look like and what their personality may be like. And you did that already with all of your things. And you got confirmation from your mom about your great-grandmother Pearl, which is fabulous, because a lot of people ask me, like, well, how do I know if I'm right? Just like you were asking. You will know that you are right if someone can give you validation. So the fact that one of your spirit guides is an ancestor is helpful, because you have family members that are still alive that remember that person and can validate that information for you. However, if your spirit guides are someone just like Kaleo, where you don't necessarily think they've ever been a person and they're more of a spiritual entity or a spiritual being than a physical person, then the best way to go about that is what I call the imaginary friend method, which is sitting down, asking spirit, all right, who are my spirit guides? And you can have a piece of paper, a mental checklist, your phone with your notes app, whatever you want. Write down how many presences you feel. Is it 1? Is it 2? Is it 3? Is it more? Whatever. And then go one by one, ask them to step forward and say, okay, which one of you first wants to step forward? Can you tell yourself, tell me a little bit about yourself and see what information you write down. When it comes to names, you can do what Madison did if you feel comfortable using a pendulum or tarot cards or anything like that. But you can also just, whatever name pops into your head is probably accurate. If they weren't necessarily a person or a specific spiritual being, if you will, then the name doesn't necessarily matter, because names are a very human thing and spirits are spirits. They're not humans. So unless you have like a great grandmother Pearl, a nickname is just as fine, because a nickname that you give them or name that you give them, even if you don't think or feel that it's their name actually, is still going to be associated to their name in one way or another. So don't necessarily put too much pressure on yourself. No one person, I think, when it comes to spirit guides can tell you more than you can. So, you know, I just, Madison, I loved your story. Thank you so much for sending it in. I hope everyone else liked the story. Let's move on to a next one.
It seems like just yesterday when I captured my son's first steps or when we recorded his soccer games on VHS tapes. Those moments are gone. But the old home movies and pictures don't need to be. That's why my son created Legacy Box.
That's right, Mom. Over a million families have used Legacy Box to digitally preserve their old home movies and photos.
Simply fill Legacy Box with your old camcorder tapes, film, and photos. They will professionally digitize and send them back on DVDs, thumb drive, or the cloud.
With Mother's Day around the corner, it's the perfect time to get your Legacy Box and save your family's history. After all, few things are as important as protecting your precious memories. Give your mom a Mother's Day present she'll never forget. Take advantage of our Mother's Day sale, which starts now. It's our best deal of the year. Save up to 60% off. Visit legacybox.com/keepsake and for a limited time, get an incredible 60% off your order. That's legacybox.com/keepsake for 60% off. legacybox.com/keepsake.
It seems like just yesterday when I captured my son's first steps or when we recorded his soccer games on VHS tapes. Those moments are gone. But the old home movies and pictures don't need to be. That's why my son created Legacy Box.
That's right, Mom. Over a million families have used Legacy Box to digitally preserve their old home movies and photos.
Simply fill Legacy Box with your old camcorder tapes, film, and photos. They will professionally digitize and send them back on DVDs, thumb drive, or the cloud.
With Mother's Day around the corner, it's the perfect time to get your Legacy Box and save your family's history. After all, few things are as important as protecting your precious memories. Give your mom a Mother's Day present she'll never forget. Take advantage of our Mother's Day sale, which starts now. It's our best deal of the year. Save up to 60% off. Visit legacybox.com/keepsake and for a limited time, get an incredible 60% off your order. That's legacybox.com/keepsake for 60% off. legacybox.com/keepsake.
Okay, so our next story is titled "There Is Something in Your Closet" by Natalie W. I was not expecting this. You guys will like this. All right, so Natalie says, throughout my life, I have had a pretty good connection with sensing energy and other beings around me. I would not say I'm a psychic medium, but in some ways, I am connected. Insert what I already said like 5 minutes before here, continuing on. Natalie says, this story takes place when I was 14 years old. I'm 22 now. Since I was 4 months to 12, I had a babysitter who was like a grandmother to me. Her name was Elaine, and she was the sweetest woman ever. Elaine loved to give me dolls no matter how old I got. When I was 14, she went back to Pennsylvania where she previously had lived and went to some kind of garage sale or estate sale. When she came back home, she presented me with an old baby doll crib and high chair. Being 14 years old, I did not play with dolls anymore, but I graciously accepted her gifts because I knew how much it meant to her. When she left my home, I put the crib and high chair in my closet and never planned on taking them out. That night, I had a dream that I was in Germany in some bookstore cafe when all of a sudden a little boy approached me asking for my help. He was a spirit who passed on. I immediately became emotional and woke up. The next night I had another dream, but it was in the 1800s. I was standing in front of a white burning house when women in petticoats came running towards me asking for my help. These women were not alive as well, but spirits in distress begging for me to help them. I was in a panic and terrified. The dreams continued for a week straight of different spirits coming to me for help. Every morning I woke up crying because these dreams were so real and terrifying. But what made this even more interesting is that every dream had a man telling me that there was something in my closet that I needed to get rid of. It was the seventh morning I had woken up in tears and having a panic attack when my mom had finally had enough. She immediately took the crib and the high chair and got rid of them. That night and the nights following, there were no more dreams of the lost souls. I know I'm not great with writing, but this is a true story and I will remember it for the rest of my life. Natalie. Natalie! When I was reading your story, like when I saw the title, I was like, oh, there might be like a soul or like a spirit in the closet. No. The high chair and the crib? Are you kidding me? This is like the beginning of a really, really good spooky movie. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know. I don't watch spooky movies, but I would think it would be good. Like, that is a wild 7 days, my dude. Absolutely wild. And I honestly don't have an answer for this. I, like, something that I wish I could just, like, talk to you, like, mano a mano about to ask for clarification is like, when you perceived these souls in the dreams and you said that the soul of the little boy from Germany passed on, do you think that these were souls who were not passed over and were coming to you that may have been associated or not with the high chair and the crib or something like that? And then because they were talking to you in the dream, you were helping them pass over? Because that's what I interpret your words as. However, when I was reading this, my more so like psychic intuition, medium, whatever, was making me feel that like the crib and the high chair may have been so old that they were around during times when things like this happened and over the time that it had these things have existed. Like the energy of the environments around them have become associated to them. So it's more of like a residual haunting than an active haunting, except for the fact that there was a man who was like, you got to get rid of that stuff in your closet because it's freaking you out. That's the one part that I feel like was more of an active haunting, because the soul of this man was like, you got to chuck this stuff. It's not cool. I know Elaine gave it to you, but it's causing problems. But then I think, you know, my own opinion is that these things were holding the energy of the time and place and spaces that they existed in at one point in time. So I just, and then you were dreaming about them because they're like emitting that energy. Again, that would be a residual haunting, not necessarily an active one, except for the man who was like, you got to get rid of this stuff. That I feel like was active. But anyways, that is a wild story. And my opinion of such. So I'm glad your mom was just like, nope, we're done. We're going to take these away somewhere. And I'm glad that it actually got rid of the problem too. Again, I feel like if it was an active haunting, then the things that were associated to those items would have come back regardless. But again, I'm not entirely sure. I just, when I was reading your story, the initial impression that I got was that these are residual hauntings except for the man. But nonetheless, your story is great. If you could tell like all seven of the dreams, you should write this into like make it like a story-ish type of thing, or sell the idea to like some sort of movie company, because that would make a great movie. Anyways, thank you, Natalie, for sending in your story. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm glad that you don't have to deal with those things anymore, because I would be terrified. And we'll move on to the next story. Oh, also, if you guys are listening, let me know what you think about this story. It's crazy to me. All right, moving on. Okay, so this is going to be the last story of the day. However, it's like a little five-part mini stories, if you will. So let's thank Abby W. for her stories from working at a funeral home. Abby says, I have had more experiences from working at two funeral homes than I have involving a Ouija board. Lol. I am currently a licensed apprentice mortician and will be graduating in December. I have experienced numerous moments of paranormal activity over my 4 years of funeral service. Most of my experiences in my second funeral home have been seeing movement out of the corner of my eye in the employee lounge and hearing footsteps at times when no one is in that part of the building. However, there have been a handful of moments that were a little more intense than that. Abby's first story is titled First Funeral Home. Also, I would like to preface this that I picked this specifically because this might be Abby that I met in a private medium reading. If not, I got to do a house reading with somebody who was a funeral director at this point, possibly. So if this is the same person, I got to meet you. It was fabulous and lovely. And thank you for making this reading with me. But I did a private Zoom house reading for this woman who was a funeral director at a funeral home. And it was one of the most interesting, exciting, and fun readings I've ever had. The souls that stepped forward during it, I think I've probably mentioned in past podcasts or in a past story, but it was fabulous and I had so much fun doing it. So doing like funeral home readings might actually be something fun to do again in the future. But anyways, okay, so moving on to Abby's first story, which is titled First Funeral Home. Mind you, I haven't read these yet either. Abby says, The first funeral home I worked for had three locations. One location was the original place that had been a funeral home since the 1920s. It was my first year of funeral service, and I worked the summer at that original 1920s location for extra hours. It was a huge and beautiful funeral home with a long hallway containing 10-plus parlor rooms. Wow. At the end of the hallway was a circle desk with a chandelier hanging above it. I would normally sit at this desk and answer calls and study. The director's office was on the other side of the long hallway and to the left. One of my main directors, let's change his name and call him Morty, for privacy reasons, would frequently take walks down this hallway when it was a slow day in order to get some exercise and to come check on me. We all wore suits, and I would know when Morty was coming down the hallway because I could hear the fabric of his suit pants rubbing together along with the sound of his footsteps. One day, as I was looking at my laptop, I heard Morty walking down the hallway towards me. When I heard him get close to the desk, I looked up from my laptop to say hi and realized no one was there. It creeped me out so bad I had refused to look that direction the rest of the day. Oh, I love that. Story two is titled Voices in the Basement. Abby says, I have started working at another funeral home that opened in the 1960s. There have been many times where I've been downstairs casketing, dressing, and cosmetizing the deceased for their funerals, and I will hear people talking in the hallway connected to the preparation room. Most of the time, it sounded like the muffled conversations between two women. I usually raise my voice and ask, "Excuse me, is anyone there?" And the conversation stops. I know it's not any other staff member in the funeral home because they have been upstairs in the director's office while I have been the only person in the basement in the preparation room, and because the only two women in the building are myself and one other employee. Abby, if you listen to this, this makes me think about like two girls who may have been in the building at one point in time too that were friends. I feel like they're older women, like maybe in their late 30s to mid 40s. And they're just like gossiping either about what you're doing or other things that they want to talk about, because souls, I think, can exist at different places and times, and their apparitions or energy sort of overlay the fabric in which our physical existence lays, if you will, or relies in. So I just, it makes me think about like two like 1940s, 1930s, 1940s girls just like gossiping on their break. And when you're like, "Excuse me, is anyone there?" They're like, "Oh, sorry." They just stop talking, or they're gossiping about you. Maybe they're like, "She's not doing the rouge right," you know? It just, oh, I love that. Okay. Story three is titled Man in the Suit. Abby says, the most jarring experience I have had is seeing a man in a suit standing in the back of our arrangement office as I walked past the room to go downstairs. I see him out of the corner of my eye, and he's always in a tweed suit from the 1960s or 70s. I'm never able to fully see his face because I only see him for a flash when I'm least expecting it. I have a feeling this man is the original owner of the funeral home. I don't talk about all my experiences with my coworkers because I don't want to scare my coworkers or our guests at the funeral home, and I don't want my coworkers to think that I'm crazy. There was one moment that let me know I'm not losing my mind. It was during a slow day at the funeral home, so only myself and one other director were present that day. My coworker asked me to manage the phones because she wanted to drive up to the street to get a coffee. I told her okay, and she had left for not even 2 minutes when she turned around and walked back into the director's office. She looked scared, and her eyes were wide open when she said she thought she just saw a man in a suit standing at the back of the arrangement office. I asked, was he in an old brown-gray suit? Her eyes widened after her hearing my question because we both had realized that we have been seeing the same person. Abby, I would like to say that I agree with you in the fact that he was probably the original owner of the funeral home. He gives me like old car salesman vibes, or like salesman vibes, if you will, in general. So I feel like that's kind of the mentality that you have to have anyways in order to run a funeral home. So I would agree with your intuition there. And that is so funny. All right. On to story number four, titled Screaming Woman. Another moment I can't explain was when my coworker and I had just finished cleaning the embalming room downstairs. We were exiting the room when we both heard a woman scream. Our other coworker, who was all the way upstairs on the second floor in the director's office, had been experiencing vertigo recently after eating, and our first reaction was that she had fallen. We ran upstairs to make sure she was okay, and she was sitting at her desk perfectly fine, like nothing had happened. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And story number 5, titled The Mimicking. Abby says, "This is the most recent experience I have had. My coworker was standing in front of my desk telling me about how she was having a family come into the funeral home to make pre-arrangements, so pre-planning / paying for their funeral. In a slightly exasperated tone, my coworker said, 'I have a feeling this family is going to take a while.' I was looking at her as she said this, and when she finished her sentence, a voice that was her voice, but in a flat tone, repeated her and said, 'A while.' Oh no." It scared me because her mouth wasn't moving when I heard the second voice, even though it sounded like her, and it sounded like it was coming from the employee lounge about 6 feet behind her. It shook me enough to make my eyes water, and my coworker looked behind her frightened after seeing my genuinely scared reaction." Oh my gosh, Abby. I need to know, though, did the family actually take a while to come in? Was it longer than expected? Was it like their past loved one was like, "Yep, it's going to take them a while"? Like, I need to know. And I don't think I'll ever know. So, Abby, thank you so much for sending in those stories. They're fabulous. I love them. I hope everyone else that was listening at home loved them too. Thank you all for tuning in this Sunday for another Listener Stories episode. If you're interested in readings, there are still readings availabilities on the website up until June. After that, I'll be taking a short maternity leave until August, I believe. August, September. It's on the website. But in the meantime, if you'd like to purchase a gift certificate or an email reading, please feel free to do so. I appreciate each and every one of you continuing to listen. And until next time, peace.
It seems like just yesterday when I captured my son's first steps, or when we recorded his soccer games on VHS tapes. Those moments are gone. But the old home movies and pictures don't need to be. That's why my son created Legacy Box.
That's right, Mom. Over 1 million families have used Legacy Box to digitally preserve their old home movies and photos.
Simply fill Legacy Box with your old camcorder tapes, film, and photos. They will professionally digitize and send them back on DVDs, thumb drive, or the cloud.
With Mother's Day around the corner, it's the perfect time to get your Legacy Box and save your family's history. After all, few things are as important as protecting your precious memories. Give your mom a Mother's Day present she'll never forget. Take advantage of our Mother's Day sale, which starts now. It's our best deal of the year. Save up to 60% off. Visit legacybox.com/keepsake, and for a limited time, get an incredible 60% off your order. That's legacybox.com/keepsake for 60% off. legacybox.com/keepsake.
It seems like just yesterday when I captured my son's first steps, or when we recorded his soccer games on VHS tapes. Those moments are gone. But the old home movies and pictures don't need to be. That's why my son created Legacy Box.
That's right, Mom. Over 1 million families have used Legacy Box to digitally preserve their old home movies and photos.
Simply fill Legacy Box with your old camcorder tapes, film, and photos. They will professionally digitize and send them back on DVDs, thumb drive, or the cloud.
With Mother's Day around the corner, it's the perfect time to get your Legacy Box and save your family's history. After all, few things are as important as protecting your precious memories. Give your mom a Mother's Day present she'll never forget. Take advantage of our Mother's Day sale, which starts now. It's our best deal of the year. Save up to 60% off. Visit legacybox.com/keepsake, and for a limited time, get an incredible 60% off your order. That's legacybox.com/keepsake for 60% off. legacybox.com/keepsake.